good morning, everyone. Man, talking about teenage years, wow. So I got saved March 15th of 85. That's 37 years ago. That's like a lifetime. So my testimony today to you is I'm here. 37 years later, and my lovely wife, where did you go, dear? Back over here by Mo. Penny, stand up. Everybody, welcome Penny. And so good to be home. 37 years, and we had, these guys were just sharing with me. We met when? 95. So we spent about 8 or 9 years here in Salina. And it was Mother's Day in 98 that God moved us to Topeka, and never would imagine the journey of the 24 years now up there that he's taken us on. We got saved, was in the AG, Assemblies of God for 12 years, fourscore 12 years, and now just pushing independent, went independent. This is our 13th year. And so I have four boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and off they go. So Ricky, the eldest, Michael and Matthew, the twins, and Nathaniel. And now we have four grandsons, and they are a blast. You get to love them, you get to hug on them, and send them home. So, yes. And one more on the way with Matthew, another boy. So, what about the girls? I wouldn't know what to do with them anyways. So, yeah, girls. So, anyhow. Yeah. Good to be here. So I'm just going to talk for a little bit this morning, and we'll look into the Word, just kind of testify. You can't not but get emotional when you get into the presence of God and when you look back at His goodness. But for His grace, there go I. So when I say 37 years is my testimony, it's my testimony. And if the Lord tarries, a lot further, a lot longer than that. But, you know, it's hard to be up here, and I can't remember. It's been a New York minute since I was here last. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so we won't say that word politics too loud. Good grief. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that... good night. I don't know how people do it today. I don't know how you do it without God. It's tough with God, let alone without. Amen? And so we had great years, Ed and Amy and Bill and Janine. And, wow, Stuart, Melinda, so many of you I know. I don't want to leave anybody out. Good to see you this morning, Jeremy, all you guys. I always say this, the first, I was Ed's age starting out when he got saved, and here the first 9 years of my, I would say, my real preaching ministry and the start of what God was doing. He let me preach anything in here at Salina. And then I moved to Topeka, and I had to live everything I preached. So it's fun when you first get saved. God will just let you preach everything, share everything, and it's such a great, glorious cloud. And then at some point you transition to where you got to live everything you've been preaching, and that's good too. But it's challenging. And so we went to Topeka and started planting a church with the AG, and then landed up with Foursquare and. Went independent, and 13 years ago, we started a place called God's Storehouse, a ministry extension of the church, and doing things different. And my son came to me the other day. He said, "Dad, we've got 82 people on payroll," and I about fell over. And but you know, the higher the hill, the stronger the wind, the greater the temptation, the harder the fall. And lot of challenges. You know, the more you get in the spotlight, then God birthed God's storehouse through a 21-day fast that I was on. And I remember when I came home, my wife and my kids said, "You're crazy." I said, "I know, but this is what God said." And all these years later, 13 years later, it was a beacon. It was a platform that God used. And then we went on another fast, and some of you know this story. I'll just touch on it before we get in the Word here. And I was in the middle of a fast, and I woke up one morning, and the Lord said, "Run for governor." What? And you, some of you can understand that. You know me. And some of you are looking at me weird anyways, but that's okay. But he said, "Run for governor." He said, "I want you to run as an independent." I didn't even know what an independent was. I barely knew what a Republican and a Democrat was. I know now. God help me. Know what an independent is. I didn't even know you could run as an independent for governor. And then, so God started shifting our heart into the political. You know, there are certain mountains where God is, and streams that God brings influence. And how many of you have ever heard the seven mountains of God? The places of God, the streams, that people call it different things, but the media and, you know, like the schools and the labor places and, the politics and seven of them. I can't remember all of them right off the top of my head, but so the Lord just started directing us there, and God knew and found out I had to get on the ballot as an independent. I had to have 5,000 names. And I thought, well, that shouldn't be too hard. Until you try to get them one by one. And so we had about 6 to 8 of us, and we went all over, and we had to turn in, because the thing is, if you have to be way above, because if for some reason if one name didn't work out, and say you're at 5,000 exactly and you turned them in, if one didn't work out, you'd have to start all over. So you had to make sure. You know, because you didn't know. I mean, there are crazy people out there, you know. Oh, yeah, I'll sign that petition. I'll sign my name. And, you know, you register, but oh, yeah. And then you find out they weren't. And so, traveled the state in that governor's run as an independent. I was on the ballot and started to get versed in the politics of what am I doing here. And I began to realize that just like as a pastor and the anointing on my life, that, to oversee and to watch over the flock of God, the kids and the children and the future of our kids. I love Kansas. I love Kansas. I could have lived anywhere. Matter of fact, we lived in Florida for a while, and sometimes we keep saying, the way things are going, I'm going back to Florida. Bless God. Florida's a good, pretty good place to be. I think a lot of other people from other states are moving to Florida, too, is what I hear. So, but no, I love Kansas, and God planted me here, and when I said I wanted to protect Kansas, God put that in my heart, and so why governor? And the funny thing was, I was going through a real transition in my spirit, because, you know, I was taught because of religion that, well, I can't really get involved in politics. You know, the whole thing, you hear the argument, separation of church and state, and I ain't got time to get into all that right now. But, you know, we are a Judeo-Christian country. We're founded on God's principles and the Word of God. And the problem is, the reason we're having so many problems is because we're getting away from that. So somebody better start leading us back to that and teaching our children what to believe, how to believe, when to believe. Because if we don't teach them, somebody else will bring an ideology of craziness, and to where they're so confused, they don't even know who they are anymore. Anyways, I better not preach. I'm here to talk. But yeah, and so I never realized what I had stepped into in the heavenly realms and just beginning. And the battles, the soul battle, spiritual battle. Times where I said I'd never get bitter in my life. I always said, not bitter, better. Not bitter. I can't get bitter. I got bitter for a while. Yeah, if you are around enough in the Lord, there's plenty of things to get bitter, and it's a terrible path. But the grace of God pulls you out. Paul said, the things I should do, I don't do, and things I don't want to do, I do. And if you've been any time in the Lord, I don't care how holy you look on the outside, there's always crud on the inside. But thanks be to God, I triumph through Him. Come on, give the Lord a hand, amen? And so That's the testimony, you know. And so I was on a fast again. Let me get back to what I was talking about. I was indecision, and there's this pool, you know. God spoke to me. I thought, man, am I crazy or what? I wouldn't even tell my wife for a while. And but the Lord has always great seasons of breakthrough have come through fasting. I don't like to fast. I'm like anybody else. And there's the fast that I was on, I could have ate the bark off a tree. And that same time, my son Nate, my youngest son, was fasting. And he was kind of mad at me because I was indecision. I was in a weird place. You ever been in a weird place in life? The deeper I get in God, the weirder it gets. I'm not talking about a freaky weird. Like, there's some weird people, weird Christians, okay? Went to a prayer meeting one time early on, and, you know, so you're going to come over and pray, and the lady opens the door, and it's a prayer meeting going on. Praying in tongues the whole time, directing us where to sit. You're freaking weird. How do you tell that to an unbeliever? My kids at one part in our walk with the Lord in church, they said, man, your church, Dad, you're weird. And there is a weirdness in God, okay, but then they're just weird, okay? Anyhow, so my son knew the struggle. He knew something was happening in me. He didn't know, like, you know, I'm mad at God. Am I trying to get away from God? So I just said, we got to go out and eat. So we just got to meet, man. We got to sit down. And Nate has just been one of my boys. And all my boys love Jesus, and they're all serving God. They're all on fire for the Lord. And Nate's always just been steady. Just, you know, you got some of them kids and people, you know, just steady. So right in the middle of this Mexican restaurant, him and I, he's laid out. Dad, what the heck is going on with you? What are you doing? I didn't want to tell you. I said, I've been fasting. I've been struggling. Didn't know what else, how to hear from God. So I know when I fast, I'll hear from him. I just got a taste of it. I don't know if God's calling me out of the ministry, out of the pastor. I don't know what. I'm struggling because, see, it was foreign to me, separation of church and state. I had this ideology, this thinking, and it just didn't make sense, you know, that I could, you know, talk political and do some political things in my life being a pastor. And that was kind of contrary. Well, pastors better start doing it now because we're in trouble, folks. We're in trouble. Somebody better start holding up the Word of God and the principles of God and preaching the Bible and you know what I'm saying? Letting this world know that we have a nation. If you don't want to be in a nation that has Judeo-Christian principles and foundation, then go live somewhere else. We got to get this down. We're losing it. So I'm in there in the restaurant with my son, and so I've been trying to tell you this. I said, God told me to run for governor. And he had the weirdest looking, and he just started like crying and screaming. Like, oh my God, he's taking this so hard. He thinks I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. And I'm, Nate, I'm sorry. I got to obey God. Nate, I'm sorry. I'm telling him, and people are looking at us weird, and he's just going off, and I just can't believe it. And I said, I'm sorry, son, I gotta obey God, I gotta do this. And he goes, no, Dad. He said, you don't understand. I said, well, tell me, I don't understand. So here's my youngest boy. He goes, 3 months ago, God told me to run for governor. I thought it was me. I'm so glad it was you. So I put him on the ticket, and we ran together. I was running for governor. This was the last governor's race when Kelly and Kobach and all them, I ran as an independent because I didn't know any better. And he was my lieutenant. And we traveled the state. We went to 105 counties. We went everywhere. It was beautiful. I said, God, there's no way I can win. You can't win as an independent. I said, but, you know, you can do a miracle, whatever. And I obeyed him. It was incredible. Got done. And lost, and of course, and I said, well, good, now I'll just go back to what I've been doing. And I was relieved. 3 months later, people reached out to me. Long story short, God used that as my training ground. It was my boot camp. It was my political boot camp. People laughed at me. I got along with everybody because they knew I couldn't win, so either party loved me, you know. They didn't care. They're just glad you're saying something, man. Now it's like, whoa, you know, what happened to all that, you know? So never knowing that would be the boot camp that thrust in me, and they reached out to me, and 2 years ago, won the seat in the district that I live, which is 32% Republican, 30% Democrat, and 28% Independent. That's a tough district to win. And the challenger, the incumbent, had been in politics for 43 years, served as state senator for 27 years, and even the media up there calls me the giant slayer. Yeah. But let me tell you, not without a price, not without attacks. And so now, you know, we've built the ministry and we reach thousands of people. God has blessed us in so many ways. We partner with so many churches and networks financially and missions and all these things that are happening. It's incredible. And then they went after me saying, you're using the platform of the church to win the seat. And all the, you can't mix politics with religion and all these things. And so I need your prayer because I'm in the middle of a battle. One of the first churches and ministries that the IRS has been probing since that. The enemy is on assignment to destroy me, to destroy what God has raised up. And it's a long story. But yeah, I'm in a weird place. And some of you this morning are in a weird place. So Father, we thank you today. Just wanted to give a little backdrop. We look into your word this morning. I want to talk to you about, I didn't know what I was going to title it, so I'll just say it's a weird place. Call it a place called there. And there is sometimes a weird place. Psalms 139, where shall I go from your spirit? Verse 7, where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. You got your Bible. So bring your Bible. Circle that word there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Circle the word there again. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Circle there again. I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines in the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14, but I will praise you. There was a lot about talking about praise this morning, wasn't there? There's a lot about talking about, well, just confirming the word I have from the Lord today. He's already been speaking it to you, so I'm just, you know, he's just expanding what he's already been talking to the congregation today. Say, we will praise thee. Say, we will praise thee. Say, we will praise thee. Say, I will praise thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. And so, the place. There's some weird places in life. There are some places, some seasons. And we heard a little bit about it this morning. Some different places. Everyone is in a different place today. Everyone in here is in a different season. And some of us, you know, We're in a better place. We're in a good place, and some of us aren't. But I find David here in the Psalms, you know, it's in its simplicity. In its simplicity, there is a place. David came to an understanding in his life that God was there in whatever place he was at. In whatever season, wherever he resided, he began to get this revelation that, God, you're there. If it's in the heavens or if it's in hell. So if you're sent in heaven, you're in a good place of life. You know, I said how the first 8 years I get to preach whatever I want, and the last 24 years I've been living everything I got to preach. But I've had good seasons. I've been in some good seasons, but in heaven and blessings and bountiful things and just loving life, loving Jesus, and then I've been to hell and back. I'm going through hell. Anybody here this morning going through hell? Come on, get honest. Are you going through some hell right now? Ain't no fun, is it? And so David gets this revelation, even before he has the full impact. You know, this is just from the Old Testament thought. We're going to dive into this for a minute. Are you with me this morning? And something that seems so simple and trite in this place, there, right now, God is there, and there surfaces an awareness in David's inner man that there's nowhere he can go without God not being there. But it's more than just, you know, let me get theological on you. You know, when you first start learning the Bible and everything, you know, the Bible was written by 40 different authors over a period of 6,000 years, 66 books, and the Bible never contradicts itself. It all complements itself. And you get into that, written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and you get into all this, you know, stuff and the attributes of God, and you know, we know that God is omnipotent, and we learn those words. What does that mean? All-powerful. We know that, and, you know, and he's omniscient. What does that mean? Well, he's all-knowing, and you know, and then, well, he's omnipresent, and here's David recognizing the omnipresence of God. What does that mean? He's everywhere, all the time, and, you know, just relax. God's in charge, and, you know, God's in everything. God's everywhere, and man, it just sounds so good, doesn't it? Till you're deep in the pit and all the hell's on your back. You need more than just the intellectual knowledge. Kind of like, you know, how we tell unbelievers they need Jesus, and, you know, we can have faith. I can have faith in this chair that if I sit on this chair, it's going to hold me up. Why? Because just I know this chair is pretty sturdy. It looks good. I already assessed it before I sat in it, you know. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. Okay, just that intellect thing. I know it's going to, you know, hold me. And, you know, but when we put our trust in God, we got to have a saving faith. It's got to be more than just mere intellect. It's got to be heart knowledge, revelation of who Jesus is. And so David came to a place that was much deeper. He began to have, and as he portrays it in this psalm, a revelation now that it wasn't just head knowledge. You heard that term in the church, head knowledge, you know. There's a lot of people that know about Jesus, but do they know Jesus? Right? I mean, you get around people, you know, religious people. You know, I'm an American, ain't I a Christian? You've heard that. So, no. And then you ask, well, are you born again? Well, what's that? Well, I mean, are you saved, huh? I mean, are you covered by the blood of Jesus? And then pretty soon you start, you know, throwing out all them spiritual terms that Christians are used to. Have nothing to do with that. What happened in my life, March 15th, 1985, is I walked in. And, you know, we often say, well, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. And when he found me, everything changed from that moment, in a moment. You get it? I had a revelation. And that revelation has never left, and it never will. And no matter where I go, no matter what I do, he's there. He's there. When I sit up in that Senate chamber And some of the things we debate, and after listening to people that like to just hear themselves talk for hours sometimes, good grief. He's there. So what difference? I'm a dropout. I quit school in eighth grade. Finally got my GED and went back. I went to Bible school, and I cheated to get through Bible school because I didn't know how to read and write. I cheated off my wife. I finally was graduating, and God said, no, go tell your professors how you got through. And I went to my professor, several of them, repented and said, you know, it's great to have this degree. I said, but, you know, I cheated at all my tests to get through. I had to, you know, I don't know how to read and write. I was on a third grade reading level. And my first person looked at me, and he laughed. He just started laughing and laughing. I'll never forget that. He said, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, I'll tell you one better than that. He said, I knew some students of yours that were ahead of me, and they gave me all the tests, and I studied all the tests, my wife and I, and we broke the curve every time. People were failing because I knew the test. I passed all the tests. I aced every one of them because he was, I don't know, I guess not intelligent enough. He used the same test every year over and over, and I got it. And he laughed again. Because he knew I had enough God in me to try to make it right. He's there. Once he's there. Yeah, am I okay on time, Ed? Doesn't matter. So David gets this revelation, and that he was there. And it's almost, you read it, and it's like, and we understand from a New Testament perspective how the Holy Spirit is there. But he has this revelation, and it was more than just an awareness. You see, it's more than just being aware God is there. I'm talking about a place called there, and we're all in different places, and that place there, and I want to get ahead of myself on this, but he had this revelation, and I recently came into this revelation to the Lord like just days ago that in all my walk, I've always seen that Christ is in me. And Lord said, I am? Yeah. Jesus lives in me. I tell everybody that. Jesus lives in me. Christ is in me. Oh. Kind of like back to somebody said back there, I found the Lord. No, the Lord found me. And the Lord gave me the revelation. Christ is in me. Is he? Yeah, well, that's your problem. And I'm theologically now going through the scriptures, thinking this through. Well, what are you saying, Lord? Well, if I'm in you, okay, let's take these glasses, okay? This is for, you know, okay, Christ is in me, so I'm the jar of clay. You know, the Bible says we're clay. And Christ is me. Let's just say the glasses is Christ. So Christ is in me. Oh, okay. And I'm clay, I'm flesh. I have all this fleshly emotion, all these desires. I have all this stuff that he's got to work through me to lead me and to guide me. And I have been under that understanding. It makes sense. And then when I began to read this psalm and I began to see that he is there, God challenged me. He said, well, am I in you or are you in me? I want you to think this through a minute, because the tables turn, because if he's in me, then he's got to work through all this Rick. And sometimes Rick is a mess. And it's not whithersoever Rick goeth, he's there. But what if you flip it and realize that, wait a minute, maybe Rick is in Christ, and wherever he goeth and leadeth, he is there. You see how the revelation changes all of a sudden from, and we understand with salvation, you know, it's not about works, it's not about, you know, in grace, and I know Ed preaches a powerful message on grace, so most of you are learning, I don't get time to get into all that. But now I see that I'm in the envelope of him versus he being in the envelope of me. And so when I begin to understand that he surrounds me, he is there. And he carries me and leads me and guides me into all truth versus flipping it. Just something so simple but so powerful in a revelation that it takes the pressure off of me for performance. Because in the Bible, the New Testament isn't about obedience as much as it is about believing and understanding that he already paid the price. Past, present, and future. And that's a theological hiccup that I was taught, and it messed me up for a long time because I always thought I had to perform. In the Old Testament, you had to perform. In the Old Testament, you had to do things. But in the New Testament, he sat down once and for all, period. Somebody getting this morning? You see, and it just, I just got this revelation. I'm not even, like, totally understanding it at all, but what I'm beginning to see is what David saw here in this Psalms, that wherever I go, you are there. Where can I go from your spirit? You're there. Heavens, earth beneath, wherever I go, you're there. So what place I am now, it's not that I am in that place, it's he is in that place. Why? Because I'm in Christ rather than Christ being in me. Now don't get caught up in the semantics of this, okay? But just follow. So the place called there, if I'm in the place that he's already there, why? Because I'm in him, then the valley of the shadow of death, I can declare there. Ezekiel, in the last verse of the last chapter, he's declared as Jehovah Shammah, and Jehovah Shammah means he is there. It's the only place mentioned in the Bible one time. He is there. So in other words, before I even get to the valley of the shadow of death, he's already brought me into the valley of shadow of death. He is there. Everybody say there. He's there. So when things are happening where you're trying not to lean to your own understanding, you're trying to theologically figure it all out, you're trying to believe to where you can't believe anymore, and I believe, God, help my belief, help me where I have unbelief, and you know what I'm saying? He's what? Everybody say there. In the place of sickness, deterioration of health. What is it? There. You're suicidal. You're emotionally unstable. Say it. There. You're full of guilt. You're full of fear. You're backslidden. But
there.
Well, somebody's getting this. You're angry. You're frustrated. You're ready to give up on God.
There.
You're overwhelmed with grief because you've lost someone you love. You're overwhelmed in grief because you've lost a relationship. See, folks, there. That's not some intellectual, that's not some wow, I got this spiritual truth. No, this is divine revelation. You are there. David said, if I go to heaven, you are there. If I walk through hell and going through hell, you are there. In sickness, you are there. In health, you are there. In anything, God, you are there. Everybody say there. So, the revelation, you know, it's interesting. In the beginning, God, you know, God never tried to prove himself. And the first thing we try to do when we are going through situations is, and I say it, you say it, get honest. Well, Lord, if you're really... Well, Lord, if you're really...
there.
And that question brings opportunity for the enemy to bring doubt and unbelief and all these things. You see why I'm in Christ versus him just being in me? Because now I am a brand new creation born of the Spirit, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. It's a revelation. And so, well, if you're there, now it's there. God never tried to prove himself. He just said in the beginning, God. He just said and stated, he is
there.
Period. And our humanness is always trying to, and the enemy is, well, if you be the Son of God, then brings question of doubt. And so in the Hebrew here, and I just studied this out briefly, where in Ezekiel 48 and verse 35, that he is Jehovah Shammah, and the whole book of Ezekiel and all that's going on, he's talking about the New Jerusalem and the heavenly kingdom and all these things futuristic. But it's already there. He's already
there.
He's always been
there.
He will always be. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Why? Because he is
there.
Jehovah Shammah, and the word Hava in the Hebrew, doesn't that sound like I know something? It says to become known. The word entails an unceasingly revelation, and Sham unceasingly there. Always there. Has always been
there.
You see, when you just simply get that revelation, then there's no room for doubt. It's already settled. God doesn't have nothing to prove to anybody. He's there. In the beginning, God. You never see God trying to make an argument for his existence in the Bible. Why? Because he's there. Isn't that good? And so when we begin to understand that we're enveloped, that it's not about Christ being in me, but I am in Christ, he's always where? There. What place? What is the place? Where are you going? What place? What was David saying? Place there, Jehovah Shammah. And when you understand Jehovah Shammah there, the fullness, him being there, all of a sudden Jehovah Jireh You see the provider, Jehovah Nissi, the banner, Jehovah Tiskanu, the righteousness. Are you getting this? Jehovah Rapha, the healer. There. So I don't know what place, what season, but what I do know is there. And there translates Jehovah Shammah. He's there. Always been there. Never left. Will always be there. Where can I go? If I go to the heights of heaven, you're there. And if I go to the depths of hell, David said, you're there. Matter of fact, you're so there, it blows me away how he says, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yeah, and the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Why? Because he's there. Ever present help in the time of need. And so he gives us this picture take that further, as he declares the temple and Jehovah Shammah in what the vision and what he was sharing Ezekiel now, back to Ezekiel in the 48th and the 35th verse. He's talking about the temple. And the declaration came in the New Testament that we are the what? The temple. The Holy Spirit. And so now we start taking the revelation a little further, where is it? I am the temple. He belongs to me. Or I am his temple. I belong to him. Did you notice the enemy always tried to twist the truth a little bit? And when he confronted Jesus, Jesus confronted him, Jesus always set him back on track. So when we understand that I am in Christ, it puts full dependency on him. He's there. Can someone come on the keys? I want to close this morning, and I hope this is something that I'll take and ponder in this thought, because I'm still pondering it. It's new. I didn't even know. It always tells me at the last minute, about 4:30 yesterday. Oh, are you sharing, by the way? I was just coming up to sit and hang out. Okay? You got something you're going to preach? No, I'm good. No. I love you, man. There! Look up at me. There! Amy, there. Who needs a miracle this morning? I want you to get there. If that's you this morning, I want, and I'm asking Holy Spirit, give you the revelation. Okay, what place? You're in a place this morning. There. I'm in a place. I'm the first one standing. I'm standing. There. Wife, I'm waiting for you to stand. We're there. There. And there, he's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He's Jehovah Tishkenu, he's your righteousness. Come on, there, there. Somebody get a there in their spirit this morning. There, there. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, there. God, I've got all hell against me there. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the revelation, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. All of a sudden, there. Stuart Wounded. There. Justin's there. 100%, but you're there. There. God, there's so much I can't figure out. There. So much of my understanding, I lean not to my own understanding. There. Peace, you are there. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional this morning, but he's just there. Like I know that I'm saved. There's no question. You can't challenge me on my salvation. I know. But I got a revelation this week that he is there. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on all across this room. He's there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For all your questions, all your concerns, all your carrying, all your burdens, there. Just there. The young people, all the battles, all the fights, all the struggles, sometimes financially, and this culture, there, there. As you begin to leave, and as you begin to walk into the crowds, and you begin to be in the mundane of life day to day, you find out that you're enveloped in him. You're in Christ. He's there 100%. So wherever you're going, whatever you touch, you're not touching, it's him touching. There. This may be a weird illustration, but there. 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 How could God take a punky little 17-year-old, 16-year-old kid, set him free from drugs and all the bondage, and get me through to where I never planned on being a senator? There. Got something powerful for the young man. There. Walk with him. Don't try to figure it all out. There. God's got something for you there. Every one of us. You got the revelation. How'd that go? I am wonderfully made. How's that verse? Somebody read that verse. You got that verse again? Fearfully and wonderfully made. say anything else, that you are Amy Mathis, fearfully and wonderfully made. There, there. Shakara Mahafish and Shaka. There. So he just said, bring the message, Pastor Ed, that whatever place they're in, I'm there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in this place today, man, that is a revelation. It's just simple things that we read and to understand and really fully grasp. That concept to me is so refreshing to know that if God is there, then everything that He deploys, everything that He's promised is there for us too. Amen. He's there. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's there. So whatever condition and state that you and I are in, we can depend and count and expect His faithfulness and His promises to everything that He has promised. It's wherever we're at. Wow, what a powerful, powerful word. You say, well, that's easy. No, when you're going through a storm and when you're going through a trial and you're walking through some things, it's hard to see Him there. It's hard to know He's there. But if that revelation is stuck and is permanent within our hearts and continually reminding us of that, hold on. I'm not in this by myself. Hold on. I'm not alone. Hold on. This is not about me. This is not up to me. God is there. This is His. And I can rest in His faithfulness. Father, we love You and we thank You, Jesus. Lord, help us to just know. Help it to stay. Holy Spirit, give us that absolute complete revelation. Complete it in some of us this morning. As we walk through the week, that we're reminded of this message. We're reminded, wait, 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 He's there. He was been there waiting. Look, He's there before I was there. He already got it worked out. Because His promises tell me it's worked out. It says, for all things work out for the good. So help us, God, to cling to this. Help us to grab this. Help us to let it permeate us, Father. Amen, amen. God bless you this morning. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. And we do got a slop job. What do you call that? Like, oh, yeah. Right after service, so God bless. And the ladies and everybody who prepared that, would you just give them a hand before you go in there? And just God bless them and thank you. As Pastor Rick, thank you once again, brother. I love you. Always bring a word that I need to hear. God bless. Thank you, guys.